Hello, and welcome back to another episode of You Can Survive, Let's Talk About Cancer. I'm your host, Arzu, a cancer survivor, as well as cancer champion for the patient-led charity, the Yorkshire Cancer Community. I'm also part of the Cancer Smart Initiative, which is an exciting opportunity to help tackle cancer and its associated inequalities in West Yorkshire and Harrogate. In particular, we're looking at how we can help improve outcomes of cancer patients through early diagnosis and screening and provision of preventative advice. Today, we will be talking about breast cancer and specifically the importance of breast cancer screening in helping catch breast cancer at an earlier stage and improving your chances of survival. In the UK, you will receive your first invite for breast cancer screening when you age between the age of 50 and 53 years, and from then onwards, you will be invited every 3 years until you turn 71. For those of you who are a trans man, trans woman, or are non-binary, you may also be invited automatically. However, you may need to speak to your GP surgery or call your local breast screening service to arrange an appointment. We recommend that you do so if you haven't received your first invite once you've reached the age of 50 to 53 years. Breast cancer is one of the most common cancers seen in the UK, with the majority of cases being diagnosed in patients over the age of 50 years. One of the first symptoms of breast cancer that many women notice is a lump or area of thickened tissue in their breasts. Majority of breast lumps tend not to be cancerous and therefore are not something that you need to be worried about. However, we do recommend that you get these checked by your doctor to be safe. Other symptoms that you may notice if you have breast cancer include any changes in the shape or size of one or both of your breasts, any new discharge of fluid from either of your nipples, any lump or swelling in either of your armpits, any change in the look or feel of your skin, such as puckering or dimpling or a rash or redness in your breasts, any rash like eczema or crusting, scaly or itchy skin or redness on and around your nipple, and then finally any changes in the appearance of your nipple, such as it becoming sunken into your breast. These are some of the symptoms that you may experience if you have got breast cancer, and we recommend that you see your GP as soon as possible to get these checked out. Breast pain is not usually a symptom of breast cancer. However, if you do experience this symptom, as well as any of the other symptoms that we've just mentioned, then we do recommend that you see your GP. This is to ensure that you get the cancer diagnosis earlier and you have a better chance of surviving breast cancer, just like our guest Catherine, who will be sharing her breast cancer story with us today. On today's episode, I am joined by another inspirational guest who will be sharing her cancer survival story. She was one of the many women who had their cancer detected via screening and has luckily gone on to survive cancer. She's also a fellow cancer champion and does a lot of work to help support people within the cancer community. She has overcome a number of challenges in her life, and I'm very excited to have her join us today. Welcome, Catherine.
Hello, nice to be here.
Perfect. How are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm really good, thank you. Thank you. Lovely weather, but so yeah. I'm enjoying the summer, yes.
Definitely. And like before we actually go on to have you share your story with us, would you like to tell the listeners a little bit more about yourself?
Yeah, I'm Catherine and I'm 56 years old now. I live with my eldest son. I lived with my two sons. One moved out last year. And so now I live with my eldest son, my dog and my cat. As you said, I'm very active in the cancer community. I do lots of work with Macmillan, working as one of their patient reps, and keep myself busy with lots of different campaigning elements that I've also been involved with Macmillan. And I'm also quite active, so I do lots of exercising, walking, etc., etc., which has really helped me in my recovery.
So would you like to sort of start us off with how you went about with finding out like you had cancer and how it all started?
Yeah, so it all started, I'd had my first breast screening aged 50, right. Which was all clear. And I was invited for my second at age 53. And after lots of, I was very busy in quite a stressful role at the time, under lots of pressure. And unfortunately, that meant I kept moving my appointment back for my screening. And at one point, almost was going to cancel it altogether, thinking that I was absolutely fine because I had no signs of breast cancer. Anyway, I did go along to the screening appointment and it did detect that I did have primary breast cancer.
Right. Okay. And like when you did go for your screening and they told you that it's primary breast cancer, what were your, you know, exact thoughts and feelings at that particular moment of time?
Yeah, well, it was interesting because I went for the screening and then I was recalled to go to the Pennine Breast Screening Centre in Bradford and was told that I'd have to have further tests. So I went along not really knowing that they'd obviously seen something, but still at that point thinking, oh, it won't be anything. I went along to the appointment and I had a variety of tests that day, including a biopsy.
Right.
And they said that they would let me know within the next week. And at that point, I sort of just had a feeling that there must be something there, just by virtue of the fact that they'd done quite a lot of tests on that day.
Yeah.
And the following week, they had an appointment exactly a week later. And I went along to the appointment and they just basically told me that I had very early stage breast cancer, DCIS, which is ductal carcinoma in situ, which is a very early stage before the cancer has actually become, you know, aggressive.
Yeah.
Contained, if you like. So I was very quickly put on track to go for the, you know, variety of appointments with breast surgeon, et cetera, et cetera. At that point, they didn't think that it would be any more than just a small operation, a lumpectomy, and possibly radiotherapy. Anyway, long story short, I actually opted for a mastectomy and they agreed to do that and they did an immediate reconstruction at the time.
Right.
So
right.
It was a real shock, but in my heart of hearts, I felt as though, look, it's been caught early and it's, you know, it's better for it to be caught earlier rather than later. But in actual fact, it went on to be diagnosed as a little bit, they didn't quite get the correct diagnosis at point of screening. And after I'd had the surgery, it was found that there were actually two more tumours in my breast that were undetected and a spread to my lymph node. So I think that for me, that was the worst part when I actually found out that this is actually a lot more serious than you thought. And I'd already had major surgery at that point, which obviously I wouldn't have had I known the extent of the cancer at that point.
Yeah.
Anyway, they did say that I would have to have another operation to remove all of my lymph nodes to check them because one was what they'd found cancer in one of them.
Right.
So I had further surgery and then I was also told that I would have to have chemotherapy. And the type of cancer that I have, which is called HER2 positive.
Right, okay.
I would have to have Herceptin for 12 months as well. So it was a real shock to me because at the time we were having a very difficult time in the family because my brother was also diagnosed with cancer at the same time as me.
Wow. And which cancer was he diagnosed with?
He was diagnosed with lung cancer.
Lung cancer, okay.
But unfortunately, it was diagnosed very, very late stage. So by the time he was diagnosed, it had spread to lots of organs and his bones. And unfortunately, he passed away 6 weeks after his diagnosis.
Right.
So it all happened around the time, which made it very difficult and obviously very frightening.
Absolutely. I completely understand. I mean, if someone so close to you has also had a similar diagnosis to you and they've gone on to obviously not survive and pass away, that can be quite traumatic in itself. And you were going through that grief phase and then you at the same time were diagnosed and had your own treatments to go through. And the fact that it was more advanced, I believe, than the screening had picked up, that in itself was quite a big shock for yourself.
Yeah, it was. And really, you know, at the time, when you actually, when I think about where I am now, the reason why I do as much as I do with and try to help other cancer people going through cancer is that at the time it just seemed helpless. I felt like it was the future for me. I felt as though I wasn't going to get through it. And, you know, it was a really difficult time. There's no denying that. You know, no one's going to tell you that chemotherapy is easy because it really isn't. And having all the emotional impact that you have with cancer and surgery and everything else. But in actual fact, you know, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And for me, without screening, even though it didn't fully detect what was going on, it detected that the cancer was there and there were no outward signs. So in my opinion, screening actually saved my life.
Absolutely. And like you just said, you didn't have any signs and symptoms of the breast cancer, if I'm not mistaken, prior to your screening appointment. Is that correct?
No, I didn't. No, none at all.
Right. And that meant that if you had not gone for your second breast screening appointment, which you were contemplating, you know, they potentially would have missed the cancer, you wouldn't have found out at that stage, and it could have spread elsewhere and metastasized, which is definitely something you would not want, because, you know, you wouldn't be here today. So, you know, it's really important for anyone who's listening and contemplating going for the mammogram or breast screening that they do book that appointment when they're requested to do so, because it really can save your life and mean that you pick up on the cancer at a stage where you may not necessarily see any changes in your breasts or feel any changes, but there are internal changes that need to be fixed and need to be treated as soon as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's no one likes the thought of going for screening because it frightens us as human beings. It's natural to think, well, I'm fine, and if I go for that, then I might not be fine. All of a sudden, it might actually be something wrong. But, and you know, you don't even look forward to going through the experience of a mammogram. I know for lots of ladies, you know, it's the fear of the actual mammogram itself that puts them off.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think the only thing that I can say is you're absolutely right. Mine being in a very aggressive form of breast cancer, HER2 positive, I was hormone negative. So I couldn't have any of the hormone treatments associated with it. I could only have those designed for HER2 positive. Now, HER2 positive is very aggressive, fast moving, and divides very quickly. Because it was already in one of my lymph nodes, it wouldn't have been very long at all before it would have been in my body and you know, spread into other organs, you know, either my liver or bones, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And so, you know, for me, it was a lifesaver. I mean, obviously, as a cancer patient, you never can say 100% that your cancer is not going to recur. You know, we know that and we accept it. But if I think about it, if I hadn't have had the screening, because I mean it's almost 3 years ago now since I was diagnosed, then I might not be here now. And
exactly,
that's a really big deal.
It is.
That's your life, and there's nothing more important or precious than that. So this is why I'm a huge advocate of screening.
Absolutely. And, you know, as a fellow cancer champion, you know that as part of Cancer Smart, that's exactly what we're trying to advocate, is for people to go for this screening because it can save your life, and for people to be aware of any unusual persistent changes in the body, because anything that's, you know, different to your normal could mean that it's potentially cancer. And, you know, the more that you're aware of your body or any changes, the better it is for yourself, because you're going to be more motivated to see your doctor or seek that medical help that you need, so that it doesn't lead to a point where you may potentially lose your life. So I'm really glad that you were able to, you know, share your experience and why you feel that screening is so important as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. And, you know, as I say, I can't advocate it enough. And like you said, though, changes in your body or anything that you are worried about, a lot of people, we bury our head in the sand. We think, oh, it'll go away, or we ignore it because we're frightened of what it is. But in actual fact, you know, when you look at all the statistics of cancer that's detected early, is treatable. And I think that's the message that people need to get. I know through just my own connections, my own family, friends, people, you know, my whole personal experience of having cancer is how frightened people are of it. They think it's a death sentence, and it really is not these days.
It's not. And like one of the things that I've been saying in a lot of the episodes is that you know, there's still life after cancer, even after you've been diagnosed, even when the cancer is in your body, you can still live a normal life and do everything you love or everything that was a part of you. It can still remain a part of you. It's just a matter of making that decision and your mindset and avoiding being so negative about it and thinking that this is it. It's the end of my life, because it isn't. It absolutely isn't.
I go for breast screening every year at the moment because I'm diagnosed with cancer. Obviously, I only have one breast now. I have a reconstructive breast, which doesn't get the mammogram.
Yeah.
And my other breast still gets a mammogram. And after 5 years from diagnosis, I will then revert back to screening every 3 years.
Right.
But what I suppose I'm trying to get across is that I absolutely, wholeheartedly, I'm behind going for that every single time. And whilst people might be, you know, a lot of people, it's not a pleasant experience. Nothing like that is ever going to be an experience, a pleasant experience, just like the cervical screening as well.
Yeah. But,
you know, it gives me the peace of mind that at least I know if I go for the screening, I've had everything checked, and, you know, the chances are that that breast is currently clear of cancer if the mammogram is clear. So it's a huge part of taking away the worry for me.
Absolutely. And I think it'd be really helpful for the listeners and the women out there who are maybe contemplating booking their mammogram, if you could share your own experience, because yes, I know it's not necessarily the most pleasant thing to have, but I think it's nice for you to share how it was like for you and maybe contrast it to the treatments that you received and how, you know, difficult those were, for example, and the fact that the mammogram is nothing really as bad as what treatments, for example, can be.
Yeah, well, the mammogram itself, obviously, it's a really quick process. You know, you lots of women will know it's not, it can be a tiny little bit painful, but nothing major at all. You know, obviously they do squash the breast tissue quite tightly into the mammogram machinery, but it's for a couple of seconds. It's literally, you know, just hold your breath, you know, so it's a little bit like when you have an injection or a needle, you know, it's a sharp stab, as they always say, when you have an injection. And it's very similar with a mammogram. You know, it'll just be a sharp stab that will last for as long as they just need to grab the image. And then, of course, the machine just releases. And you're literally, I had my last mammogram in November, and I was literally in and out in less than 5 minutes. I mean, obviously, I'm only having one breast checked now, but, you know, I was in and out within 5 minutes. And so it really is, you know, compared with the treatment that you might have to endure if you, you know, and especially the more advanced your cancer is, it's absolutely minimal. And it's the peace of mind, you know, because if you're over 50 and you are called for a mammogram and you don't go for it, there's a conscious reason why you've decided not to go for it. It's either fear of the mammogram itself or it's fear of what it might find. But as we all know, we worry about things because we didn't do them. So, you know, in contrast, you can also think, well, actually, maybe I should have had the mammogram. So, for example, if you missed one, and 3 years later you went for one and it was found that you actually had advanced cancer, you might then be thinking to yourself, well, if I'd have had the screening 3 years ago, it was probably very early stage then and it would have been found. So, you know, none of us like if onlys. I mean, we all have if onlys. If only I'd done this, if only I'd done the other. But I just think you've got to give yourself the very best possible chance. And when you're worried about going for a mammogram and what it might lead to, is you've got to look at the people around you who are in your life, who love you, depend on you. You know, you're important to those people. So it's important for you to look after yourself.
Absolutely. And I definitely agree with the fact that you said, you know, you don't want any what ifs or regrets. And like with fears as well, a lot of the times, I think as women, you know, we're just nervous about, or any human being, we're just nervous about new, unfamiliar situations. And the only way you can conquer that fear and overcome it is by facing it head on. So, you know, go for that smear test, for example, or go for your mammogram, and you'll realize that there was nothing really to be worried about. It was just 5-10 minutes out of your life that is going to give you a peace of mind. You know, it's going to take away any sort of any stresses or any worries that you're going to suppress because you're so sort of nervous or scared to book that mammogram when there's nothing to be worried about. And I'm sure that the radiographers or the nurses that help with the whole process, they're going to support you as much as possible. And if you share that you're anxious with them, they'll do everything and anything to calm you down as well. I mean, they are trained and experienced to do what they do on a daily basis. And I'm sure Catherine will agree with me on that as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They're lovely. I mean, obviously, I've had lots of hospital appointments over the last couple of years or so, and the staff are always so supportive. And, you know, they do identify when you may be feeling a little bit anxious. But, you know, it's like you've said, it's a half an hour out of your day. It's so important, and they do make you feel at ease. And it's a critical part of you know, helping us to on this, you know, fight to beat cancer and to ensure that more people survive, and also to make people feel a little bit more comfortable about talking about it. You know, it does still have this huge stigma attached to it when really, you know, those of us that have been through the experience, we will talk about cancer all day long to anyone. we'll share our experiences, and you know, not to frighten people, but to encourage people to say, look, you know, I did it, I got through it, and now, and I might not be here without it. So it's so important to sort of remove that stigma and make people realize that, you know, it's a lot of the things that we don't want to do. You know, there are lots of things we can put off, but there are certain things that we can't. And the things that we can't put off, we tend not to, because we have to do them. Whereas it sort of feels like a choice, and so we can put it off or not do it. But in actual fact, it's one of the most important things that you will do.
Absolutely.
And we all go through life thinking, it won't happen to me. I've been healthy all my life. I haven't smoked. I haven't really drunk a lot. I'm healthy. I'm not overweight. We all believe that, you know, it won't happen to us. And I was... honestly, I was so shocked when it happened to me, because I didn't expect it at all. I thought I was ultra healthy, and you know, and I was healthy. So, you know, don't always think that it's being healthy and feeling great is a reason not to go pre-screening, because it's absolutely not.
Absolutely. And like you said, you know, the fact that you were feeling healthy, and a lot of people feel that way, that because they're not smoking and not, you know, binge drinking, that they're safe and immune to cancer. But that's not the case. You can still get cancer. I mean, I was, I believe, like 13 when I was diagnosed, and I was absolutely fine, probably the fittest and like healthiest I'd ever been in my life, and was super active. However, I did have cancer. It's really important to, you know, make sure that you go for your screening. And if it is being offered, there is a reason. And they wouldn't necessarily want to pay for services like mammograms for no reason if there's no benefit in it. There obviously is a benefit, and that is that you have your cancer caught early. And I just want to, you know, reiterate the fact that not every woman with breast cancer would experience symptoms in the breast, for example, any changes in the breast, which was the case for Catherine. And that's what makes screening so important, is that there are going to be times where there's cancer cells within you that you're not noticed, and they can only be noticed through more advanced imaging techniques like the mammogram, which is, I believe, an X-ray based test. So it's really important to make this a part of your lifestyle, really. In today's day and age, we really talk about looking after ourselves and self-care. Screening is just one of the ways you can do that for yourself, really.
Yeah, I think screening is part and parcel of that self-care. If it's available, you know, we're very fortunate that we have the NHS.
Absolutely.
For screening, you know, if you were paying for your screening, how much would it cost you to do that? And, you know, all the ladies that I've met who've had primary breast cancer like me, we're all, you know, we're all sort of so thankful for screening. We can't wait for our next, but we're happy that, you know, we're concerned. We would be concerned if we weren't getting it, you know.
Absolutely.
Because we were diagnosed with breast cancer, and we want to know if we did happen to get a new primary cancer in our other, you know, those of us who have one remaining breast, we want to know as soon as possible, because we know that early detection saves lives and has saved many of our lives.
I definitely agree with everything you said. And I just want to add that it just sort of shows that somebody actually cares about you, that your healthcare professionals, you know, your health really matters to them, and they want to know if anything is wrong so that they can help you in every possible way. And just to add on to you know, the benefits of screening is that you're safe from having those more aggressive treatments that you potentially could have if you, you know, allow your cancer to reach that advanced stage, you know, where it spread to maybe your bones or any other part of your body. So, you know, I'm really happy that you're here joining us today to share your experience and really emphasize the importance of screening. And I think just to provide reassurance to everybody out there who's listening, in terms of like breast cancer, as a cancer, there's a lot of treatments out there and so many, you know, advancements that we've seen with things like, obviously, we've got the chemotherapy, but those hormonal therapies for women where they will respond to hormone therapy. Of course, that wasn't the case for you, Catherine, but obviously that is an option for women diagnosed with breast cancer. And we also have now targeted therapies, which means that they're not going to experience as many side effects, but it is going to be effective against the cancer. So I think it's really helpful for women out there to know that there's definitely more advancements in the treatment options available, which are more tolerable as well.
Yeah, well, I was hormone negative. So the hormone, you know, lots of ladies who have hormone positive, they'll be on tablets for, I think it's 10 years. Mine was hormone negative, so they didn't work with me. But mine was a targeted therapy. So chemotherapy was 10% of saving my life, if you like. You know, they give you all the statistics. Your chances of surviving in 10 years will be this if you have it and this much if you have that. So the targeted therapy I had, well, there were actually two drugs, Herceptin and Pertuzumab. Now, Herceptin, before Herceptin came along, the type of cancer I had was a death sentence anyway, even a primary. So, you know, this just alludes to you're talking about new medicines coming out all the time.
Yeah.
And how far advanced they are now. So if you had HER2 positive many years ago, your chances of survival were extremely low. You'd still have chemotherapy and it would buy you some time, but chances are your cancer probably would have spread to other organs. What Herceptin does is it prevents that from happening, or aims to. I'm not saying that it always does, but it aims to. It's very successful in doing that. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. There are new treatments all the time, new drugs, new trials. I mean, obviously, you know, we'd like things to move a lot faster, a lot of us in the cancer community, because we see drugs that are available, you know, sometimes in other countries that aren't here yet, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. But you're absolutely right. You know, what the treatment now compared to probably, I mean, I don't know what the treatment was like 10 years ago for breast cancer. But I would imagine that now there are, and I know, well, Pertuzumab, for example, one of the drugs that I had wasn't available for someone in my situation until about a year and a half ago. So all the time new drugs are coming in, and all of those new drugs give you an X, you know, they add on to these percentages of your chances of survival. And, you know, we're very fortunate that we have those treatments at our disposal. Fortunate that research and trials are happening all the time to ensure that there are even more knowledge is formed around, because there are lots of different types that you can have. 11, I think there's 11 different types of breast cancer alone. People think breast cancer is just breast cancer, but it isn't. It depends on what type, and there are lots of variations of hormone positive, negative, triple negative.
Triple negative, yeah.
So many different types. It's not a one size fits all. So the treatment plan that you're given is specific to your breast cancer. It's not just any woman who gets breast cancer gets this treatment. It's tailored to your individual cancer type.
Absolutely. And what we really want to emphasize is that by going to your screening appointment, it will just mean that your treatment plan is hopefully less aggressive and you have a better chance at survival as well. And now, you know, just looking back at your overall experience, is there anything that you've learned from having breast cancer, especially the fact that it was diagnosed through screening, as something that you've now implemented into your day-to-day life going forwards?
I think that I wish I'd have known more about breast cancer before I was diagnosed with it. You know, I know so much about it now, and I'm so knowledgeable in the subject. I'm not, you know, I'm not an expert, but I'm compared to how I was when I was first told that I had cancer. I didn't really DCIS. What's that? You know, I didn't have a clue. So for me personally, I wish that I'd educated myself more about it. prior to having it. And I think that when you do get a diagnosis, you are stunned and you are in shock. And that sort of causes you to freeze a little. You're processing something so fundamental, you can't really form in your own mind what questions do I need to ask and all that kind of thing. So I think one of the main things that would have been is probably I would have asked more questions at the outset and been very clear about what was happening. And I mean, I am very proactive with my healthcare, you know, and I always have been. But I see people who don't ask questions and don't probe. And I think it's always worthwhile, even with your medical professionals, to ask the reasons why. You know, don't just take everything that's told to you. Just ask. And I think in terms of what I've implemented that's different, well, my life is completely no way resembles what it did at the point of my diagnosis. So everything in my life has changed. I don't have the stressful job anymore that I was working ridiculous hours a week under too much pressure.
Yeah.
It's made me reevaluate life and what life's all about. It's forced me to reevaluate relationships, because unfortunately some relationships are tested, you know, to the point where they can no longer continue when you go through something like this. That's just a fact.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I'm not alone in thinking that and saying it. Other people who have cancer diagnoses will recognize that. So, you know, for me, it's about looking after myself, eating healthily, lots of exercise. Exercise and keeping fit is so important. Not just for all of us, but, you know, in recovery, you know, you don't recover when you're laying on the couch. You know, you should be proactive about you know, keeping active and looking after yourself that way. But yeah, I think for me it's the removing stress wherever possible, practicing mindfulness, finding out ways to do that. It makes such a huge amount of difference, because a cancer diagnosis and going through the whole process it's a great demand on your resources, both physically and emotionally. And it can, you know, if you don't look after yourself through that process, I think it can be much, much more difficult to go through. So, you know, as I say, I take notice of things that I didn't take notice of. I appreciate the lovely things around me. I do a lot more of what I enjoy. You know, I like being out in nature. I like hiking and walking and things like that. And, you know, I make the time for that. And I've reprioritized what's important to me. And I don't regret that. That's one element of it that I don't regret one single bit, because I wouldn't want to go back to the stressful career that I had, and I won't be doing so. That's the biggest change that I've made, I think.
I'm really glad you shared that, because it's so important to look after your mental health and do what's healthy for you, not just your physical body. Obviously, we want to get that treated when things go wrong, but also psychological aspects, because cancer can be quite traumatic and it's really difficult to come out the other end. And the fact that, you know, you left that stressful job and that, you know, you're now connecting with nature and doing things to keep yourself fit and healthy, really, it just goes to show the growth that you've experienced as a person, because you realize that, okay, these are my boundaries. You know, this isn't working well for me, and this gives me peace. And those sort of mindfulness activities have helped you to cope and come out the other end and be the strong woman you are today. So, you know, I'm really proud of you. And, you know, I've seen you for such a long time now, since I think November, at the beginning of the pandemic. And, you know, to see how far you've come and how much you've grown, it's amazing. And I'm so glad that you were able to share your story. And, like, just as a follow-up question, in terms of, you know, a lot of the changes you've made, would you say that self-examining your breasts is a part of that as well now?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I have a reconstruction at one side. So the reconstruction that I had was using a muscle from my back. I know this sounds really bizarre. It's called a latissimus dorsiflap.
Right.
Reconstruction. So basically it's the lats, you know, when you do the lat pull down at the gym, well, the lats is the muscle on your back that runs across your back.
The
muscle there was threaded through to the front of my body, and it was used as part of the reconstruction of my breast with an implant. But I do have to still examine that. It doesn't get a mammogram, but I do still have to check you know, for any changes in that, because it obviously you can get a recurrence at the site of your primary cancer. And then, you know, in terms of my what's known as my healthy breast I examine it all the time. And if I see anything unusual or I feel as though there's something unusual, obviously, and, you know, in my case, I go to my breast care nurse and I would say, look, you know, I'm just feeling this isn't right. Under normal circumstances, obviously, you've got your GP. So even if, you know, take screening out of the equation, if there's ever anything that's unfamiliar or just looks different or feels different that's concerning you, you know, just go to your GP and they will, you know, they will pick it up for you. They will probably, you know, send you for a mammogram if you've got any specific concerns. So I think that's really important that, you know, people do check, but also just be mindful of there might not always be symptoms. So you've got to, you know, be proactive with the screening as well as the check-in.
Absolutely. And I really want to echo the fact that you said, know you're normal and what's not quite right for you, because that is when, you know, when you do notice changes, it's like the first clue for you as a patient to go and seek medical help if you need to, or go for a mammogram. Because if you don't know what's normal for you, or you don't self-examine your breast, then that's obviously not taking responsibility of your health, but also means that when things are noticed, it is a bit too late, for example. So it's really important to do those self-examination of your breast. And I think a good way to do this is on the first of each month. So the first of each month could be the day where you check your breast, and that could be by, you know, looking at yourself in the mirror to look for any visual changes with both your arms on the sides and then also with your arms raised up. And then, you know, as Catherine said, pick up in anything that isn't quite normal for you.
Yeah, that's. I think that's important. But, you know, every time you have a shower, there's nothing just to stop you.
Yeah.
A quick, you know, just a quick feel. It doesn't have feel to around. Be the first of the month. It can be every time you have a shower.
Yeah.
You know, if you do it regularly, you are likely to notice when something changes.
Absolutely.
It takes a minute.
Perfect. And is there anything else that you'd like to share with us today, Catherine?
I think the only thing that I would say about screening, and, you know, particularly in the current situation that we're in with the pandemic, and it was mentioned to me when I went for my last screening that the radiographer was saying to me that a lot of people weren't coming, didn't want to go into the hospital because of COVID-19 and things like that. But I suppose for me, it would just to give people some reassurance. In the last, you know, since the pandemic struck and we were locked down, I have been into hospital lots of times, and it's been actually better in some respects, because it's so quiet when you go there now. They don't have you waiting around. The, you know, everybody is really helpful, really lovely, as you said, supportive. And, you know, I've always felt very safe. So for anyone who is, you know, COVID-19 is throwing something into the mix with them not wanting to go for the screening, I would say absolutely, you know, be reassured that you will feel completely safe to do so.
Definitely. And, you know, just to provide further reassurance, the equipment will be cleaned after another patient, for example, has gone and had the mammogram before you. So there's nothing to worry about. You know, they're going to be following standard operating procedures to make sure both yourself, you know, you're safe, and the radiographer is safe as well, because we don't want you to be put at any risk at all.
Yeah.
And any final message for our listeners today, Catherine?
Only, you know, please take me as an example. And, you know, I nearly didn't go for that particular screening at age 53. I nearly cancelled it. And that was because of life pressures. It wasn't because I was scared of a mammogram. It wasn't because I was worried about having cancer. I didn't feel as though I had. So it felt like it was probably a bit of a waste of time. But, you know, and I was so, as I've said, I was under so much pressure at work. It didn't seem important, but there was a little voice inside my head just said to me, no, you need to do this. And I'm so glad that I listened to it. So, you know, please just listen to that little inner voice that might be saying to you, just get it booked or just go along to the appointment.
Absolutely. You know, no matter how busy life gets, please make time out for your own health and to go for screening, for example, and do these little things, because it's part of, like you said, self-care and looking after yourself. Because you know, we want to do a lot, whether it's career-wise or family-wise, but to be able to fulfill those duties, it, you know, it requires us to look after ourselves as well. So, you know, if anyone who's listening, any woman who's aged between 50 to 71 years, please do attend your mammogram, which would be every 3 years, because it could save your life. Thank you so much, Catherine. It's been a pleasure talking to you today.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you.
So that brings us to the end of another episode of You Can Survive, Let's Talk About Cancer. We really hope that you enjoyed the episode today and learned the importance of screening through Catherine's story. If you would like to learn more about breast cancer and breast cancer screening, then do visit the NHS website, the links to which we will provide in the description below. Thank you. This podcast is brought to you by West Yorkshire and Harrogate Cancer Alliance and patient-led charity, the Yorkshire Cancer Community. To find out more, visit us on our website www.yorkshirecancercommunity.co.uk/cancersmart. Thank you.